I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, we have everybody here. And next on the agenda is citizen input. If there's any citizens in the audience that would like to address the council on council business, raise your hand, I'll acknowledge you, and you can come up to the mic, and we'll give you 5 minutes to address the council. Okay, thank you. Approval of the agenda, before we do that, we're going to have a 3A, if that's okay with the council. Daryl would like to address the council on the computer update. He has something to show us. And also, we're going to have a 10A, and that's if any of the council members have a question to address the council position opening people that are applying. They can ask one more time a question to them at 10A before we go into executive meeting. So, is that okay with everybody? Okay, then if I hear a motion about the approval of the agenda.
I so move.
Second.
Okay, Ken and Ken. Any other discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 The same? Propose? Okay, that passes. Consent agenda. Do I hear a motion for that?
I'll make that motion.
Okay, Mark?
Second.
Okay, Dan, any other discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 The same for oppose? Okay, that passes. Do we have Dan? Doug here, is you here? I do not see Doug, okay. Okay, we'll jump down then to 3A. Daryl, you want to address the council on a computer update?
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. Daryl Piercy for the record, city planner. We were at staff today talking about computers, and staff has seen me use my little notebook quite often, and I take it to meetings, and there's provisions on it to be able to take notes. And as more questions got asked, I was asked to bring it to the council tonight just to give you an example of a nice, portable, small screen notebook that for me works very well, and it may be something that fits the council's needs as well. And I'd be happy to bring it up and show it around if the council would like. I think most of you had an opportunity to see it before the meeting, but I've had this now about 6 months, and it's working out very well. Has great memory, it's fast, light and portable, and almost disposable in the terms that it's not very expensive. It's around $300 for this type of unit. And I know that the council is looking to have laptops or notebooks, and this might be one option that you want to consider. I found it to be very versatile. It will do everything that a standard laptop will do. The only thing it doesn't have is an optical drive, so you can't put a CD in it and either burn the CD or download software from a CD, but you can do it offline. It's wireless in terms of connection to the internet, so the city is a Wi-Fi hotspot, so you can connect to the internet right here with this unit. Or you can use a variety of methods to connect to the internet if you need to do that to download material. It's just for me, it's been excellent, and it's provided good service. The brand happens to be Gateway, but we also have an HP in our company that works just as well. So I don't know that I'm tied to a particular brand, but the size is very good. It has a full-size keyboard. Some of the notebooks have a much smaller screen and a much smaller keyboard. So if you're thinking about that, I found the full-size keyboard to be very, very good in terms of ease of use. So you can attach a mouse to it. You can attach a separate keyboard to it if you want a full-size keyboard with all the gadgets. But it's very versatile and very portable. And for your purposes, it may work out very well. Any questions?
Any questions? Yeah.
Does it have a port for a thumb drive?
It does. It actually has three of those. And then it also has the SD drive, as I mentioned. This comes in anything from a 2 gigabyte to, I think, up to 24 gigabytes now, which is a huge amount of storage in terms of just files. And then there are three ports for the jump drives or the thumb drives that you can put in, as well as any accessories. For instance, I have a a wireless internet connection that can charge through the port, or you can connect it directly to the port, or you can have it just as a wireless unit. But it meets all the needs that I can imagine you would want to have out of this kind of a unit, and it's just very compact and portable and very pleasant to use.
Great. Thank you, Darrell. I think what we'll do is wait for Stan to see what he comes up with also. Or has he done anything yet? Or
no, he's investigating. He did look at that one today.
Okay, great. See if he comes up with something reasonably the same price, maybe bigger or something. Who knows? But we'll see what he brings to us. Okay, beautification committee comments relative to Main Street. Heyman, are you going to start?
Lynette, I think.
Lynette, okay.
Good evening. Folks, would like to thank you tonight for giving us this opportunity. And on behalf of beautification, to share our vision with you for a possibility for our Main Street. It's a very ambitious new beautification program, so here we go. As I look around, I think I can safely say that everyone here tonight is here because we care about Othello. We want to be proud of our city. We want it to be the best possible place it can be to live, to raise our families, and we want visitors to feel welcome when they come to Othello. We want them to feel like they want to come back and that they want to bring their friends and that they want to stay when they come and they want to spend money when they come. That's called tourism, folks, and that's what we need here in Othello, and that's a big part of what beautification is all about. We want to make our city beautiful to promote tourism and enjoyment of the residents that are here. We, I think, have come a long way in the past 2 or 3 years with beautifying Main Street with the pots that you see and the landscaping up between 13th and 14th. But folks, we could do so much more for our Main Street. And we have the perfect window of opportunity here with the new repaving Main Street project that's going to be taking place. A perfect opportunity to put in new infrastructure, to stub in water and power along Main Street so we can do any beautification project that we can dream of. Folks, what I would like you to do here just for a second is visualize with me, picture, if you will, I'm a stranger. I've never been to Othello. And I've heard about the Sandhill Crane Festival and these amazing birds that come into the basin. I'm coming down 17, I turn to come into Othello, past Walmart, the Cimarron, and I stop at 14th Avenue. And oh, by the way, it's evening. I look down Main Street and I'm absolutely amazed because the street is glowing. And as I proceed through 14th stop sign, I see that the street has street lamps all the way down the street. And from those street lamps are hanging colorful, beautiful Sandhill Crane banners. And below the street lights are blooming cherry trees. And interspersed among the cherry trees are flower pots with newly planted flowers for summer. Folks, as I'm coming down the street, I don't notice that we have empty, vacant blocks. I don't notice that we have a hodgepodge of buildings and businesses and every kind of architecture you can think of coming down Main. What I notice is that beautiful street. And this is our vision for our Main Street in Othello. But none of what we've just heard will be possible unless we have power and water to Main Street. So That's what we're talking about tonight. And here's the plan. We would want to put 6 street lights or lamp posts per block and 8 trees. That would be 3 lights per block on each side and 8 trees where space allows. Now, you know as well as I do that many of our blocks have driveways coming in, have pre-existing structures that are already there. So some blocks would only have 1 light and 3 trees, or 2 lights and 1 tree. So not all blocks would have all lights and all trees, but it would be enough to make an impact. And these lights would be side across from the street from each other, so that you would have greater visual impact with the seasonal banners that we would hang from the street lights. And so 6 lights per block, 8 trees per block. Think about CBHA, folks. What we want to do is basically extend what CBHA has done on up the street to 14th. Now, they're more concentrated than we want to be. They have 5 lights on the one side of the street and 7 trees. We don't need that many. I think we can have tremendous impact with what we've just described. Okay, we would get started on Main, well, obviously on Main, but on 7th, and move toward 14th, and move down toward 7th, and then eventually, hopefully, on to Broadway. And we would start where our mini mall is in the irrigation district. The irrigation district does not need trees. They have trees over the sidewalk there, but we would put 3 lights in front there. The mini mall across the street needs all of the above. So we would put lights, trees, and the flower pots across the street. Would move on down to 6th. That would be in front of the post office and the bank. Do the same thing and gradually work our way toward both ends of Main. That's the plan. Okay, maintenance of this project. We're, as the beautification group, we would continue doing what we're already doing and keep our pots planted and maintained. And if we have water, we would be able to add flowers, probably many, many more pots. Right now, there's one man in this room that keeps our pots looking beautiful all summer, and that's Dave Spurl. Dave drives his red truck 2 or 3 days a week, all summer long, around to every single pot in this city to keep them looking beautiful. And hopefully, we'll be able to take Dave's job away by having water. So, we would ask that the city prune and keep the trees shaped as often as necessary, once or twice a year. And the leaf pickup, we would help with that if necessary, but that the city be involved with that as well. We know there would be costs, additional costs with water and power, and would ask that the city provide that as well, because it is for city improvement and seems like a good way to spend tax dollars. As far as funding this project, we know that street lamps are expensive, and trees that are of any size that we would want to plant, the decorative cherry trees, are expensive. And so we're talking a lot of money here. We would continue with our beautification fundraisers as a start. But we know that that is just a drop in the bucket for what a project like this would cost. We would come to you for hotel motel funds, because this obviously is a project that would promote tourism, and we could possibly qualify for some of those funds on a yearly basis. And we've checked into the plan that Moses Lake has used for their beautification and revitalization of their downtown area. I don't know if you've all been to the Main Street in Moses Lake. It's incredible. They've done amazing things there. And it's all because of a Main Street tax incentive program that was passed by the legislature in 2005 for communities such as ours. And they have been in the program for 3 years and have raised $330,000 for their beautification programs. And how this works is businesses in the community can contribute to a nonprofit organization and any amount of their choice, and in turn would receive B&O tax credit for 75% of the amount they contributed the following tax year. So this has been totally a win-win situation for Moses Lake. And we have some issues here in Othello, and the fact that we don't have a designated downtown business area. Our business area is strung out for a mile, basically. And we would have to write a program and be approved for this. There are 90 communities in the state of Washington that are presently involved in this. And anyway, we're just in the process of exploring this, of looking into possibilities here. Eamon, you probably know quite a bit about this. So that would be a possibility for primary funding that we definitely want to look at. So folks, what we're asking for from you is your commitment to develop, or with the help of your engineers, planning people, whoever does this, a commitment from you to come up with a formal plan to bring water and power curbside on our Main Street. And if you choose to move forward with this, that would be awesome. If not, I think we can pretty much plan on our beautification being what you see now is what you get, because there's very little we can do beyond this point. We haven't done anything about Christmas decorations because we have no power to our poles. And non-lighted Christmas decorations aren't very effective. So one last comment. I'm sure you've all heard a phrase similar to this, that if you don't start with a dream or an idea, that change doesn't happen, that things don't get done. So folks, we're dreaming big here. And questions, comments?
Council, any questions? Not right at the moment. I'm impressed with what you brought to us.
I've got a comment here, if that'll help. I think what they're looking at and what they've got in their mind, I think, is a very good thing for Othello. I think it's time that we do something. We've tried to do a lot of things in Othello, and it seemed like it gets so far and it stops. And I think the beautification committee have done a wonderful job of what they're doing and what they've done in the past. And like she says, what's going to happen in the future? If this committee can keep on for another 100 years, why, at our next centennial, we'll have some beautiful trees and whatever going, but I'm not sure if Dave and I are going to be around that long. So my question is that I think we should get started on something like this. My personal thought is now's the time to at least get involved in it. We've got a perfect timing as far as Main Street. We're going to tear that thing up. We need to get involved and get something in under the underground. We may not be able to do the whole project, but at least we can get something started on it and get going. My particular suggestion is, or I don't really make it a motion, but anyway, I would suggest that us as a council and the staff and the beautification committee get together, form a committee, and get involved in this thing very quickly so that we can get it to the engineers what we think we need. I know it's a very short time to do it, but time is as an emphasis, as they say, and no better time than the present.
Well, I'm excited about what you shared. My 8 years ago, I ran the first time for city council. That was one of the things I ran on, was beautification of Main Street. And even like Ken said, we're going to be tearing our streets up. If you ever need stuff out of the water lines, that's the time to do it, you know, not later and try to do it. So, and get some water near the surface to maybe be used in the future. I wouldn't assume that'd be very big expenses, but at least from there we can look. As a council, would we like to review this in the April workshop? Have you guys come back maybe again and talk about it?
Where's our engineers with our, is this something that they're going to need right away to look at?
They could look at it right away, but our next workshop's 3 weeks away. So maybe a committee from the council, much like our recreation committee, three members will work with staff, the beautification committee, and bring something back relatively quickly to the full council.
I would like to put that in a motion that you appoint a committee of three councilmen and the staff get together with the beautification committee.
Okay, do I see three people are interested?
Second.
Do we need a motion to do that, or?
Yeah, well, I believe Mr. Cater.
Okay, did second. Okay, we have a second. Okay, any other comments?
Yes, I have comments.
Okay.
I have a deep respect for what you people do. We come from different backgrounds. When I go to Moses Lake and see their Main Street, I see bricks that are settling and cause tripping hazards. I see trees with possible roots growing up and displacing the cement. I see extra work that needs to be done, and to me, it adds very little value. When you said six lights, I thought six lights in the city, that'll be perfect in a few trees. But six lights per block, I will never support that. I just don't appreciate trees in the sidewalk and lights on the sidewalk and obstacles and birds in the trees pooping on people. And so that's my background to this thing. I think there's other things you can do to improve this town without creating those kinds of obstacles.
Any other comments? Questions? Okay, well, we have a motion for forming a committee of three council members to join with the beautification committee on this. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same?
Aye.
Okay, Mark, we have one opposed. Okay, I guess we'll do that. Now I need to know, is there three council members they're willing to raise your hand and be involved in this? One, two, third one? Three, okay.
Mayor, could you identify Gina, Ken Johnson, and
Ken Kaler? Mm-hmm. Okay, and I guess we'll get a hold of the beautification committee and we'll see what you come up with for our April workshop, and we'll pursue it from there. But we do appreciate what you do, and Dave, for driving around for the city like that. You know, that's a lot of work. I've seen you out there in the evenings doing it and stuff, and you know, you guys have really done a nice job at trying to make our city appear, you know, more welcoming and a better place to live. So thank you very much for your hard work, but as you can see, this is just the beginning, so we'll see where it goes. But thank you again.
Is it possible to set a date and time this week for the committee to meet with the beautification? Convene for the council.
4:30, is that good for you guys? No?
During the day is better for me, after school.
Okay.
Noon meeting again?
Noon meeting would be great.
This Thursday?
Noon meeting?
Thursday?
Yeah.
Wednesday?
Will that work for the beautification committee, noon this Thursday?
When?
This Thursday at noon?
This Thursday, you say?
Yes, they want to get started right away.
Three of us are gone.
How about Wednesday?
Wednesday? Wednesday at noon? Okay. Okay, then it'll be here at the City Hall. Is that what everybody wants to do? Come here?
Unless they want to have lunch at the Senior Center or here. And lunch at the Senior Center?
Immaterial, whatever.
Wherever.
Lunch at the Senior Center, right?
Okay, lunch at Senior Center, Wednesday at 12 o'clock. Is there a mayor's luncheon this Wednesday?
I'm sorry?
Is there a mayor's luncheon this Wednesday?
Yes, and it's a full county.
Oh,
yes,
that's all the other mayors
right.
And stuff.
You're right.
Yeah, ay, ay, ay. That's not going to work.
about either 11 or 1, same day. 11 or 1, Wednesday? No.
That's fine with me, too.
11 o'clock? I'm sorry, Mayor.
11 o'clock.
You guys want 11 or 1 o'clock? What's the best for people?
Well, if we're there at 11, then the mayors meet lunch.
Okay. 11 o'clock, Senior Citizen Center. That sounds good then? Okay, we'll do that then, this Wednesday then. Thank you very much for coming and presenting this. And we'll see what comes of it. Okay. Petition for Rodney DeLeon to modify the Othello Municipal Code. Daryl, you want to start on that one?
Thank you again, Mayor and Council. For the record, Daryl Piercy, City Planner. Mr. Rodney DeLeon has petitioned the City Council to make modifications to the Othello Municipal Code that would allow for commercial truck parking in the C1 zone. I've put up on the display, and you have hard copies of the areas within the city of Othello that have a C1 zone. I think we have a pointer here. Perhaps not. Got clapping.
Great job, Daryl.
But the yellow is just, I'm sorry, I can't shut this off. There we go, I'm sorry. Oh.
There's a pen that should be a pointer there. Looks like this. There you go.
I managed to silence the press and make a fool of myself at the same time. So the area in yellow is the current C1 zone within the city of Othello. It goes all along Main Street and then down First Street to the south. Mr. DeLeon's property is generally in this location of Main Street. The request as presented would provide for modification in language to the existing code, and I think it's important to note that any change to the language in the C1 zone would affect all of the yellow properties, not just Mr. DeLeon's property. So if you were to modify the existing code to allow for commercial truck parking within the C1 zone, it would affect that entire area. Now, commercial truck parking, as you will note in the code, is allowed in the C2 zone, and under the Othello code, any use that's allowed in the C2 zone is also allowed in the industrial zone. So commercial parking is allowed in the C2 and industrial zones within Othello. And it was specifically excluded in the crafting of the code, it appears, from the C1 zone to make that distinction between the major commercial retail centers of Othello and those areas that tend to provide for heavier retail use, such as tire shops, those things, as well as industrial sites where commercial trucking activity is anticipated and expected. The requirements for no parking within the C1 zone have been in place now for a number of years, and it continues to be a code enforcement issue as we see trucks being parked in various locations throughout the city. We have undertaken a number of code enforcement actions on properties to have those trucks removed from those sites within the C1 zone. And we have a number of examples and locations where that has taken place. I think it's also important to note that within the C1 zone, where a commercial vehicle is used in conjunction with a legitimate business that's zoned appropriately and used appropriately within the zone, those commercial vehicles are allowed. So for instance, if you had a dry cleaner that provided delivery of dry cleaning materials and the dry cleaner is allowed in the C1 zone and you had this delivery truck, that could be parked as part of a legitimate business within the zone. So what is prohibited is the use of commercial vehicles that aren't related to the businesses that are already permitted within that zone. So what the options that we believe that the council has before you this evening are at least three, maybe there's possibly more. The first option is to remand the issue to the Planning Commission to have them conduct public hearings, take testimony, receive input from the community, and then follow that up with a recommendation to the council in terms of any action. The second option for the council is to simply move forward and allow for commercial truck parking in the C1 zone. We are suggesting that if you were to take that option, you would do it in a manner that's consistent with the way it's already done in the C2 and industrial zone, and that would be through a conditional use permit with a number of restrictions and requirements associated with those lots. And the third option for you is to simply take no action at all. And by taking no action, the code would remain as it currently is, and the request from Mr. De Leon would in effect be denied, and parking could not take place on his lots within the C1 zone. So that concludes my presentation this evening. I would be happy to respond to any questions that you might have. Mr. De Leon is here in the audience this evening, and I'm sure would like to have the opportunity to address the council if you feel that's appropriate.
Any questions for Daryl? Hey, Rodney, would you like to address the council? Okay, I'll give you 3 minutes since you got to address us last week, so you can come up and state your name and address for us.
My name is Rodney De Leon, here in Othello, Washington. And what else you need, sir?
Your address.
The address 1212 East Main, Othello, Washington.
Thank you.
The only problem I got is I got a car wash. I like to put it all together and everything, and that's where I got my truck. I'm just asking just to put that truck over there. It won't be moved never. I just need that just in case of emergency. I need it to do something with it. And I like to keep it on my area because if I put it in other areas, I had 5 trucks over there in that place and they stole a lot of stuff on it and everything. And I had to sell it to the junkyard real cheap. And I don't want to move these trucks nowhere else but keep them because who knows, one of these days I might want to build up and go somewhere else or something, but I don't want to do that. Like Othello, I've been here so many years. I like to put that truck on one over here and the other truck on the other side. And I keep it clean, I keep it area and everything, and I like to keep the truck in that area because I can keep an eye, nobody's stealing from it or nothing. I had them at the bowling alley. They were stealing, I was putting on one side, they ripped me off so bad I had to even replace a motor and everything. That's why I don't want to even park it over there. There's too many things. Look what happened last week. Some dumb guy came in there and started painting the walls of my bowling alley. And if I have a truck over there, they just tear it up and was using it. That's why I got it right there. And I like to get my car wash going. It's ready to go. All I can do, I want to fix it up nice and paint it, fix it up nice. Right now, I feel want to and I don't feel like doing nothing to it because I'm not getting nowhere. I have that truck parked there. And my other truck on the other side where trucks come in and load up their gas and they're using just one side because I got one truck on the other side. So that's when it's a little truck. I like to put it over here where I got my other stuff over here in this area. Just one truck and the other truck over here in the front so I can keep an eye on it when I'm over there. Until 10 o'clock, I'll go to bed. And that's all I'm asking. Please let me park them trucks here. I pay a lot of property tax here. Every month, every year on it, I mean. And I keep it clean and everything. I don't think it'll be that bad. Right beside Dr. Ehrman's place, right on the corner where the trash can he's got, I don't think it's nothing wrong there. And that's the only one, I just only got them 2 trucks, and I need them. The one small truck, I use it when all the time it's snowing, so I can snow plow with it and everything. I move it, and that's why I like to keep that snow truck. It's just a small truck. The other one's big, and just in case I needed to haul something, big stuff.
Okay, thank you, Rodney. Is there any questions by the council for Rodney? Okay.
Mr. Piercy, the map you have up here doesn't match the one I have in my hand. It shows only half a block from to the alley on
end of Officer
Show to the alley. And on this one, it shows the
here.
My policy is
right here.
Okay. Thank you.
It doesn't match.
Okay, so the whole block between Main Street and Hemlock is C1.
Okay.
On both sides.
So do you have any questions for Rodney? Okay, Rodney, thank you. You can be seated.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We appreciate you taking care of your lots. They do look nice and clean. I can tell you take an effort to do that. So do I hear a motion from the council?
It seems like Darrell gave us three options what we could do. I do kind of like the option to send this back to the Planning Commission because they could hold public hearings on it. With changing stipulations that we have in our C1 zone, it would be nice to have public comment.
So you're making a motion? Or is this a conversation?
Before Mr. De Leon broached this subject, you all know I was entering discussion about minimizing truck traffic on Main Street. And so it's nothing personal to Mr. De Leon, but I am not in favor at all of allowing semis to travel and park in these areas. There's plenty of places to park trucks in this area. It's not like we're confined to parking in town. Whether in town or out of town, there's still lots of areas to park trucks. So I'm in favor of denying, not making any motion. Just leave it as is and work toward minimizing truck traffic on Main Street. And Ken, with all due respect, you're on a beautification committee to make Main Street look nice, and now you're this whole section you're talking about potentially rezoning covers all of Main Street. So your street lights and trees aren't going to cover ginormous semi trucks parked right off the road. So I think we need to go down the beautification path if that's the way we're going.
I'm not talking that. I was just talking about turning it over to the Planning Commission to let them. They will give us a good recommendation too. I come in with a question with Darrell this morning, and currently we do have trucks parking in C1. And my concern is I don't want to deny those businesses that are using those trucks the spot to park or them using them, because that's part of their business. And we do have quite a few businesses in the C1 areas that do have trucks, do park their trucks overnight on their lots on the C1 property. And I don't want to see those affected.
Well, supposedly it's being enforced now that to not park in C1.
And Council, perhaps just to clarify that point, if a truck is associated with a legitimate allowed use within the C1 zone, then it can remain and it's allowed to park in those locations. But if it's a truck, a commercial vehicle that has no relationship to an allowed use in the C1 zone, then it is not allowed.
I don't see, my opinion, we don't need to waste any more resources on turning it over to Planning Commission or having public hearings or even debating it. I think it's fine and should stand as is.
Any other comments by council? I hear any form of motion? Okay, then Rodney, I guess your request is denied since there's no form of motion. So you know how the rule is already set up, the codes, it'll remain that way. So, but thank you for coming in and letting us know about your concerns and what you're trying to do. Okay, where are we at here? NPDES permit for mosquito control request. Amen.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. At your last workshop, the City Council heard from Tom Hayworth, who is the manager of our mosquito control district. He and his board have asked the City Council, among others, to send a letter to the Department of Ecology relative to their NPDES permit, which Tom explained last meeting. The question before the City Council tonight relative to Mr. Hayworth's request is, will the City Council consider authorizing the mayor to send a letter to the Washington State Department of Ecology? You have in your packet a copy of the letter that was basically summarized by Mr. Hayworth last meeting. He apologizes for not being here tonight, however, he is in Texas and has offered by a cell phone to discuss the question with any council member should you desire or have any additional questions. Again, the question for the City Council is, would you make a motion to approve this letter to be signed by the mayor and sent to the Department of Ecology?
Questions for Eamon? Do I hear a motion one way or the other?
So moved.
Second.
This motion is to do this, I take it? To authorize the mayor to sign? Okay, any other comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, thank you, Eamon.
Thank you.
And next is, where are we at? Consideration of building inspection contract. Eamon?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The question for the City Council relative to inspection services is a consultant services agreement with the Permit Center. The issues before the council are, number one, what are we currently doing? We currently have a contract with Safebuilt that's been in existence for about 18 months, 20 months. What's the difference between these two contracts and how will it benefit the city? First of all, the evaluation of this last year's service level to the city, one, resulted in a review of the school inspections that we originally contracted with Safebuilt to conduct. There were really no issues with the school district permit, plan review, or inspections. The small obstacles that we did incur were overcome quickly, and the school district is basically happy with the service. However, on the residential side, which we evolved to, has been a slightly different story. The concerns relative to the city are that the agreement identifies that the city will send a fax to Safebuilt. They have guaranteed next day inspection. So we send a fax identifying the contractor, the address, and what is to be inspected, for example, framing or concrete. For a large period of time, we had some difficulties achieving the next day inspections with Safebuilt. Their contention was they never received the faxes. In-house, we put together a program of verification that they received faxes, and once we implemented that, lo and behold, the issue went away. What we did is we had them send us back a verification when they received the fax so that the problem was not on our end. We were following up, doing our job with the contractor, sending their request in. However, the request wasn't being received, and therefore the inspections weren't being conducted in a timely fashion for the contractors working in Othello. The second issue was returning of phone calls, and these phone calls were necessary for contractors to receive information in a timely fashion because they're on a schedule. They have cement trucks coming. They have framers coming. So they had to receive timely information and plan reviews in a timely fashion. That has been an issue over the past year also. In addition, the turnaround times, although there was none identified in the contract with Safebuilt, the plan review times became extended longer and longer and longer. We have annual meetings with contractors of Safebuilt in the city to go over new inspection criteria, new codes that come into play, and make sure that the contractors in the city and our inspection contract services understands how we're looking at things so that they can comply with that. The turnaround times for that were extended. We would have to call and say, where's the plans, and creating another obstacle for our local contractors. The biggest item, however, was the inconsistency in billings for services. The inconsistency lies with the non-contracted identification of a set fee schedule. Although we have one in the OMC that the City Council established to benefit contractors and to facilitate growth in Othello, the contract identified a floating scale established by a building council that's published in a magazine that's published three times a year. And what I mean by that is a contractor could build a house in January and in May build the identical house, same contractor, same plan, and be charged a different fee, normally a higher fee, as it turns out. So that's really the driving force behind the request to change the contract, is the inconsistency in the billing practices. We are proposing as staff that the City Council contract with the Permit Center, which is a company established by Daryl Piercy, who already works for the city as a city planner. We have identified standards in this contract, and as you have read, the standards include next day inspection services, plan review with a minimum 5-day residential turnaround, commercial plan review 10-day turnaround, maximum of 30-day turnaround for major commercial projects such as industry or the school district, and a local telephone number for direct contact. And you might think that's a small item, but for our local contractors, it's imperative for them to be able to call and get an answer to their questions about a building concern that they have immediately. Everything is money to a contractor. Time is money. Having to comply with regulations is all money. So our bottom line is to provide more efficiency to our local contractors and our builders. It promotes growth and reduce cost. Let me share a couple thoughts with you relative to cost. In 2009, the city received just over $118,000 in revenue relative to billing permit fees. Why should the city contract? Well, let me finish the thought. Of that $118,000, the city paid Safebuilt approximately $80,000. That's that split, the 70-30 approximately split in the contract. The city and the council approved a 2010 budget of $65,000, so a little bit less than what we paid out last year. The city is recommending that the contract amount for $62,000 be approved by the council, which again is less than what is budgeted. It's a fixed rate that is non-floating that will benefit the contractors and promote growth in the city. So we are asking that you move to allow the mayor to execute the contract with the Permit Center for basic reasons of efficiency and cost reduction to the city.
Any questions for Eamon? Go ahead, Mark.
You know, I'd make a note on the figures. What I heard is that we got $118,000 in permit fees paid to the city and $80,000 went to Safeco, which was approximately 70%
right
in 2009. Yet in 2010, we're getting budget $65,000 with $62,000 or almost 99% going to the permit center contract. How is that beneficial to us economically?
The ratios are different. You're comparing a contracted fixed price versus what you approved in the budget, which is a fixed target that everybody knows. We will not exceed the budget with this contract. The other ratio that you mentioned that's identified in the budget memo is a percent of the revenue that was billed by SafeBuilt, which is at 70%. So it's really two different pictures. You're right in both cases. That's exactly right by the numbers, but it's two different scenarios.
I don't understand why we would ever, as Safeco, we pay based on service provided, why we would ever enter a contract for a fixed amount when we have no idea what services need to be provided over the coming year.
That's true. You don't know if they will go up or down. If they go, if the number of housing starts go up, and that's why the budgeted number was proposed to you and approved at 65, is because the economy is decreasing, as we all know. So we lowered that number. Again, that's that little percent ratio difference between the contract amount and what was budgeted. But we are projecting a lower revenue this year due to building starts.
I'm still not getting it. To me, you pay 70% of what you get in is a much better deal. I'd never pay somebody $62,000 for permits in this town. That's, you might as well hire somebody.
But it's plan review and building inspections. And just as a comparison, we currently contract for janitorial services, fire protection, legal services, engineering services, electrical services, and solid waste. A lot of cities have their own solid waste program, their own fire department. And we have been contracting for almost 2 years, so that part really wouldn't change. I have weighed that issue of bringing somebody on as a full-time person. We're also saving the benefits, the 40% benefit package, and the salary would be about $60,000 if we project it from 3 years ago forward, is about 65, so we save the benefits on that piece.
So does this $62,000 include what he's doing now plus the inspection part of it?
This is for building inspection and plan review, not for planning. That's different.
Well, we pay him $3,200 a month for what he's doing now.
Right, and we also pay SafeBuilt, so we're paying both of them now.
I'm not getting it. I mean, that's over $100,000 a year for that, for his organization.
No.
So you can hire somebody for that.
No.
Somebody, one guy used to do both of them.
Eamon, as you know, the last 6 or 7 months I've been coming in your office with this issue because I've seen some contractors' building permits go up as much as 40% for the exact same home that they've built
right
in the past. And it's been a big issue. And what's got me is SafeBuilt set those prices. Mm-hmm. It's really hard for the contractor to estimate any permit fees when he comes in here. Basically, he's given the plans, they're gone through the review. SafeBuilt uses this calculation, and the last time I heard it was about $158 a square foot. Whether it cost you $100 a square foot to build that home or not, they're going to charge you $158 a square foot, and they take 70% of that fee right off the top. It's not coming back to the citizens, it's not coming back to the contractor or the city. And I think we need a more level or easier way to set the fees, which this will do that. Eventually, I'd like to see something on the city webpage that a contractor could go to. He could look how much that fee is going to cost him for that building permit. And he could do it in his budgeting when they go to build a home. Even a homeowner doing a small job or a add-on or something like that. Daryl's contract will not go up to over $100,000. It'll stay at $62,000. Basically, he is Right now, he's getting $3,200 a month. That's roughly
40 grand
a year. So it's going to cost us an extra 20 for the building inspections. That's my understanding, right? For the total contract of 32?
No, they're separate contracts. This one is 62, and the other one is whatever it totals out to be annually. I didn't look it up. But it is 3,200 a month, I think it was.
3,200 a month is what he's currently getting.
I don't know why you wouldn't enter a contract. If you're worried about varying wages, enter in a contract with somebody that says the city's cost charge to permit this house is X amount of dollars, and you get 80% of it for approving the plan. And that way, as it goes up or down, they get more or less, and we don't have to pay this fixed contract.
But the contract in this case, our current situation, the contractor Safebuilt, they get to set that target number, and then they get a percent of that target number. The city cannot protect the developer. We have asked for refunds on a number of cases where one house is just exactly like the other house.
I understand that. So contract with somebody else based on a fixed fee, whatever the city charges. The city charges $500 to permit this house. You get 80%, the city gets 20%. Whenever we get a permit, we call you and you do it. That's the way I do it. I wouldn't pay anybody a flat fee. We could have 6 months of nothing.
We could, or we could have 6 months of
late. So that's not fair to either one of us. It's not fair to the contractor if we go way up. It's not fair to us if we're way down. I talked to you about this, Eamon, and I apologize. I didn't understand we were even broaching a figure like this. I thought it was going to be a constant 70%, and whereas based on the work.
Right. Maybe I wasn't clear, so I apologize to you, too. But at least we're clear now, and we understand what the issues are.
So what's the title of this position now?
What position? We have a contract.
Contractor. Is he the planner?
Which one are you talking about? Safebuilt is our contract.
No, what Daryl's doing now.
Daryl is a city planner.
Okay, and what is this job?
His job involves working with the Planning Commission on all zoning issues, land use issues, which, by the way, is the number one legal issue with all cities in the state of Washington, are land use issues. And he keeps us out of trouble in that area.
So we couldn't hire somebody for $100,000 to do both of those in-house?
We're paying that same dollar amount now. We're paying Safebuilt and we're paying Daryl. If you combine those, we're paying over $100,000. We'll have actually a reduction if we contract with the permit center.
Yeah, but you can't say that because you paid out $80,000 to Safebuilt, but you got in $118,000. So we got revenues of $38,000 with contracting the budget. We'd only get income to the city of $3,000. So I don't see how you can even compare that.
I understand your point, but the X factor that doesn't compute is the are we promoting growth in Othello or not? And if we have escalating building fees, and the council by your own ordinance has established low fees to promote growth and building in Othello, we have now entered a zone where fees are escalating and builders, as Ken suggested, are now complaining that, wait, why are we building in Othello when this moving target exists? We don't know from one house to another what the fees are going to be and how high they're going to be. So I think there's a factor you got to put in that mix that isn't purely just numbers.
Well, I already told you I agree with you on that. That's why we need to contract with somebody else that we set, that we have a contract where you're only going to get an X percent of this amount we charge. And it must be $158 a thousand square feet or something.
No, it's $158, I believe, a square foot that they use. And that's on the home itself, not the property.
Oh, the value?
The value. They use 100. That was the last figure.
I thought that was the charge. And I thought, well, that cost more than the house.
That's how they assess the value of the home. They use $158. Even though the home costs you $100 to build, they're going to still bill you for that building permit for $158.
Okay, I agree. We need a new contract, but I think it should be on a piecemeal basis, not a flat figure.
Okay.
That's one man's opinion.
A couple comments here, too. I kind of agree in a way with you and you and you and you, but what I'm getting at here, I think we need a change of what's been going on. I don't think it's fair that to the contractor or whatever, the way some of this billing is. I think that we should have more control than what they have as setting this fee, because if we've got a low fee or whatever, lower than the state, whatever, that's our fee. That's our ordinance. It says that fee. Why does somebody outside say that we can set that at a different fee? That's not fair to the contractor. That's not fair to the buyer or anybody else. What we say of that amount of fee, that basically a portion of that comes into our pocket. Part of it goes out. But it should be a set amount, and if I was a contractor, I come to this town, I want to build 10 houses. I want to build three of them in January, I want to build three of them in March, I want to build three of them in June or up the line. I want that permit, unless something goes skyrocket as far as inflation, those permits should be the same price. Once I go in and say, this is what I'm going to do, there shouldn't be a change on that. If our ordinance says that's what that amount is, that's what it should be. And as far as the way this is going, we had a big influx as far as income on this because we had the school contracts. And as tight as things are now, I kind of question, where are we going to go in the next year or two? It may be at a low amount here, and maybe that's too much money. But we have another problem. As they phase out of the school, they're going to phase out of our portion of it because it's hard now to get them to do inspections on the right time. So where do you go? Do you stay with them and maybe they'll come around to our way of thinking as far as their ordinance price or cost for these permits? Or do we have an individual come and take the job? He's here. He can make that inspection within 24 hours like it should be done, so you're not holding up the contractor, because the contractor has a right, and don't quote me for sure, but I think after 48 hours, he can cover a wall or do anything he wants to do if it's not inspected. That's not his fault. That is the fault of the inspection. And I've been around construction all my life, and I know kind of what I'm talking about. I've done it, been there, done that. So I'm not saying which is right and which is wrong here, but I think we ought to weigh this situation a little bit more and talk it out a little bit before we actually make a commitment on what we're talking about tonight. I don't know whether that helps or hinders, but.
Is that what I'm sensing from the council? I'm going to wait and see what we can find.
I know we definitely need to do something. We need to do it very soon. And it may be my fault. I was under the impression that the total contract would be 62. That's probably where I didn't understand that particular portion of it. And I did come in and talk to you about the figure was getting up there high enough if we could hire for a full-time person. But to find that caliber person to do everything that we need, that we're asking, it's going to cost us quite a bit too, and we're going to be exceeding that amount, I believe, to find anybody to do that. That's going to be reliable and kind of responsible enough to do it. I would like to say go with this today, but I don't know if I'm going to get the council backing to go with it.
I guess I agree with Ken and Mark on that. So I feel the same way on that. That should be by each one. It it shouldn't be just a straight fee.
And I think our prerequisite is that we've showed we do that. For example, the contract you mentioned with the fire department, yes, it's a flat fee regardless of how many fires they fight. However, a contract with Burke's Refrigeration is basically piecemeal in that the certain amount per hour plus materials of that, we don't pay them a flat fee. Mm-hmm. We could pay them nothing in a year. We could pay them $500,000 in a year. It depends on what comes up. And that's with this type of position, that's if we're going to contract it out, that's the path I would like to go down. And I don't really care, you know, it doesn't need to be a moneymaker for me. If we pay them whatever, I don't know how the city charges, but if we pay somebody 90% to do all this work, whatever.
I'm assuming the city has expenses in this too, right? We're probably doing a lot of typing and work on contracts.
Yes, we have an assistant that supports this position, yes.
Okay. So what do we want to do?
I tend to agree with Mark, and I'll look at this thing a little bit, and maybe figure out some different kind of a contract where it's going to work on how much you get done, and like, so if you have to pay 90%, but it doesn't really need to be a moneymaker, I don't think, but we need to get covered the cost of it, and the looks of things, the way they're going, who knows? We may be paying more than what we need. Nothing against Mr. Pearson.
So if we drew up another contract, for a percentage of so much of a building permit, could we stipulate on the person, or could we use our assessed evaluations instead, or what the contractor supplies for what it costs to build that?
Sure, we can put something like that together. Whether or not it would be acceptable, I don't know, but we can do what you want in a contract.
Are our permits now the cost based on the cost to build what they're getting permitted, or is it a flat fee, or how does it work?
No, as Ken identified, it's on a square foot basis, and there's a valuation table. And it's not necessarily true to the builder's cost. It's true to what the world is doing relative to building costs.
And that's what we charge our permit on?
Yes.
That's what Safe Built started to do
right
when
now,
they
yes.
took over the services.
What I'm asking, what do we do as the city? How do we come to figure what we charge for a permit?
You have established in the ordinance a flat rate where it's based on valuation, but it's several years old. But we bring it to council about every 3 years, and council has said, let's stay at this rate because we want to support growth and the contractors in the city. So we basically have not changed the building fee table in the code book 7-8 years that I know of.
So do we want to bring this to the workshop?
I would.
Yes.
Okay. Let's bring it to the workshop. So I guess if you have comments and thoughts, go ahead and get a hold of Eamon, I guess, and he'll work things up for us. And
okay.
Bring back the thought of a percentage of whatever our fees are, I guess. Maybe it'd be nice to see our fees also in front of us.
Okay.
As a council, what we're collecting for different things.
Hey, and maybe, talk with Mr. Piercy and the permit center and see if that's even feasible. Or it seems reasonable to me, but maybe it's not from a permit center point of view.
I've got one more comment here too. Is there anything in his existing contract that would be overlapping with what we're doing here?
As far as
the Planning Commission or anything that involved
no.
in that portion?
No, just there's a coordination issue, and that's all.
Okay.
And Mr. Piercy's here. I don't want in any way, shape, or form to put the impression out there that I'm not satisfied or happy with what he does, because I think he does an excellent job. It's just I want to, as a steward of the city's monies, I just want to do what's best for everybody. I know businesses have to make a profit to stay in business, but on the other hand, we need to get the most value out of our citizens' tax dollars.
Appreciate your clarifying that. Excellent.
Yeah, one more comment here. You know, we're talking about maybe ours hasn't been updated in the last few years. When these fees go up to a certain amount, when the inflation rate is a minus, do those fees go down? Have you ever seen one ever go down?
No. I'm glad you rephrased that. No.
So I just want to make that comment.
Okay, thank you, Eamon. Number 8, proclamation declaring annual Othello Cleanup Days. 13th annual Othello Spring Cleanup Days. Better get my glasses on. There we go. Whereas the city, in conjunction with Adams County, Consolidated Disposal Services Incorporated, Royal Organics, Oscar's Towing, Experience Merchandise, Adams County Developmental Center, and Allied Waste, volunteers and citizens will join together to beautify the city, and whereas the city encourages our residents to dispose of old junk vehicles, appliances, yard debris, yard vegetation, and old computers and televisions in an effort to improve the appearance of our community, and whereas students from our schools are encouraged to help clean up areas around their schools, and citizens are encouraged to pick up litter when they are out on walks around the city. Now, therefore, I do hereby designate the week of April 5th through April 10th, 2010, as the 13th annual Othello Spring Cleanup Days. And I urge our citizens, civic clubs, and organizations to join together to make Othello a more attractive, friendly place to visit and live. Signed this 8th day of March, 2010. That's a proclamation, so everybody knows when that is now. And I've been involved in this for many years, myself going out and help. And you know, it really pays off. So I really do want to encourage the citizens to take advantage of this. Your yard vegetation can be dumped free. I think you can call into the city, I believe, or something, and they'll pick up appliances and things, no charge. Oscar does that every year. And you know, it's a great way to take advantage of, you know, the benevolence of the community here as a whole community. So get involved. Thank you. Okay, resolution to surplus equipment. Debbie.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Tonight you have before you a resolution to declare surplus of some old city equipment and vehicles. The first one is the 1989 Ford ambulance. That was used by the police department. We'd like to declare that surplus. The next 8 items are computer equipment and miscellaneous office equipment. And then from Public Works, we have a trash pump and a well motor to be surplus also. We would recommend that council adopt the resolution to declare surplus these items. The ambulance will hold until the next Booker auction and get that over to the auction in El Topio, along with the trash pump and the well motor. Today we talked about maybe we should advertise and receive sealed bids for the Roland FJ40 wide format printer with the supplies and parts and not send that to property room, and then send all the other office equipment and computer equipment to property room to be sold online. Is there any questions about that?
Any questions by council? Do I hear a motion to approve the resolution to surplus office equipment?
I'll make that motion. Second.
Okay, Ken and Dan? Okay.
Me too.
Okay. Any other questions, comments? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, the same? Okay, it passes. Okay. 10A. Is there any last questions by the council for those that are applying for the open council position? So if you have any questions, it has to be addressed to all four. So is there any questions before we go into an executive session?
Yeah, I do have a question for the candidates. My question is, if you are appointed to this council, what would be one of your first priorities you would like to see this council pursue?
Okay, I guess we'll go in alphabetical order the first time. Eleanor, you want to address that question? Do you need to hear it a second time?
No.
What would be one of the first things that you would like to see this council pursue?
Besides the Main Street project that we're working on.
Besides the Main Street project.
Besides the Main Street project. Making sure, and I've asked that for several years, the static levels on the water. Water has become a real issue in the area, not just in the city of Ocala, just to know exactly where we're at.
Okay. We'll allow like 2 minutes on these questions. Who's next? Garcia. Charles Garcia, I guess you'd be next.
First, I'd like to apologize for not being available last Monday. I think the Main Street project is going to be huge for Othello. I also think the beautification idea is a pretty good deal. I believe you got to have a product to sell. And if you can put the product as a community, I think it will entice people to come to our city and spend money and do things. So that's where I think it's a good focus on.
Okay, thank you. Okay, then Bob, where are you at? Oh, there you are.
I agree with Charles. I think the beautification project is a big issue. I think because of the girls, because taking advantage of the St. Grant Festival coming up, that even though we may not be done with this thing, but just showing the public that we're beginning to that. I mean, I've been to cities like Ephrata, Moses Lake. That, to me, draws leisure for those places. Even we'll go on vacation. I think we've all been to cities that we remember by it, just because of the lights coming into town or the trees. Or I think, to me, that's a pretty important project.
Okay, thank you. ER? You're here, aren't you? Oh, there you are.
Well, I certainly look forward to growth, and we see the ladies here are trying to beautify the town, but also we need to make certain that our infrastructure is in place to where growth will be possible. We need to make certain that our law enforcement is in great shape to be able to handle the crime or potential gangs and drugs that we see creeping into our city, and the water, of course, that's always been a concern for me since 1997. I've been very interested in that because there's just so much water out there, and we have to take care of it, be good stewards of not only our resources, but also our money. So working with the local ladies and other people, we certainly have to look at our resources. We got perhaps do it in phases, whatever, but we must make our city a city that people would like to come to rather than somewhere else. Thank you.
Thank you, ER. Is there any other questions from the council? No? Okay, then we're going to, wait a second before we get started. How many minutes does the council like to have an executive session? 10, 15?
10 minutes would be enough, shouldn't
it? 10 minutes?
10 minutes.
Okay, the city council will now enter an executive session for the purpose of reviewing qualifications for the city council position per RCW 42.30.11.